Mark chapter 12, starting with verse 18. Some Sadducees, who say that there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and began questioning him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves behind a wife and leaves no child, his brother should marry the wife and raise up children to his brother. There were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died, leaving no children. The second one married her and died, leaving behind no children. And the third likewise. And so all seven left no children. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, when they rise again, which one's wife will she be? For all seven had married her." Jesus said to them, "Is this not the reason you are mistaken, that you do not understand the scriptures or the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. But regarding the fact that the dead rise again, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the burning bush, how God spoke to him, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are greatly mistaken." Pray with me. Our Father, thank you for preserving your word. Thank you for bringing it to us this morning. We ask, Father, for your blessing on the preaching and the hearing of your word. And we ask that you would be glorified as our lives are transformed, as we are made more into the image of your Son, as our faith is increased. Be glorified, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus had already been through two other tests. Pharisees came to him. Scribes came to him. Teachers of the law. And they were all trying to trip him up and make him look stupid. The Sadducees were against all the other guys. And to them it looked like, this is our opportunity. We can sail in here, not only make Jesus look like a fool, but everybody else that wasn't able to trip him up. So they bring this story that may or may not have been true and throw it out there, just acting like they're interested, acting like they care what Jesus has to teach. But Jesus deals with it straight away. He dives into the heart of the issue. In a lot of ways, it's like a little dog coming up and yapping at King Kong. He just gets stomped on and it's over. Christ lays it out and he says, "Aren't you just wrong? Because you don't know the scriptures, and you do not know the power of God." And that was the real issue. It wasn't the question that they were bringing. It was the condition of their heart, and the way that they approach God, the way that they deal with the scriptures. You see, when dealing with a father, think in terms of this. When I was teaching one of my children to swim, they thought that they were ready. And the child said, "Let me go. Let me swim." And I told him, "No, you're not ready." And he said, "I can do it." So I took my son and I looked him in the eyes and said, I'm going to let you go. And when I do, you're going to sink to the bottom of this pool. I want you to hold your breath. You'll be scared. I'm going to leave you there for a few moments to think about this. And then I'm going to lift you back up." He said, "Okay," and I let my son go, and I watched him go to the bottom of the pool, and I saw him struggle, and I saw his big eyes, and I waited for a few moments, and I lifted him back up, and he knew that I was right. You see, what Jesus is dealing with here is saying, you're not getting it. You're not getting that God is powerful, that God is good. You're looking at Abraham, and you're looking at Isaac, and you're looking at Jacob, and you think that they've been dropped. And you think that they're dead, and you think that they're gone, and that's it. But you don't know the power of God. He's not that kind of father. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, although they may be under the water at the moment, they will be lifted up. There is a resurrection. They will be back. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. He's not the God of the drowned. He's the God of the swimming. It's not over. And the problem is, you don't know the Scriptures. The problem is, you don't know the power of God. The problem is, you do not know this faithful Father. It doesn't drop you. It doesn't leave you dead. But He raises you up. See, Christ talks here about the fact. The fact of the resurrection. You see, those of you who know the Scripture, those of you who know the power of God, you know that God has told you, I am going to let you go. You are going to sink. But those of you who know the Scripture and the power of God, you know that that is not the end. Something comes after that. When we were in Myrtle Beach, Nathaniel got these great goggles. And when you were down in the pool and it was smooth, you could look up and you could anticipate swimming up. And you see these blue skies and you could see the white clouds even from under the water. And it was a joyful thing. Many of you have probably seen in movies when there's going to be this explosion. So the hero dives into the water and they're under the water and you see the view from down underneath. And you see the flames rolling across the water and you think, don't go up there. You see, everyone is going to be lifted back up. Everyone is going to resurface from the water. The question is, are you coming to these welcoming blue skies? Or are you being raised to this final judgment? Are you going to lift your head and be welcomed? And God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your Father's pleasure. Or do you still come up with God's wrath hanging over you because you have rejected God's only provision for sin? So this morning the cry is, in light of the resurrection, put your trust in Christ. The resurrection is a fact. But what will you lift your head to? God's pleasure, or to God's wrath? Look with me at verse 27, Mark chapter 12. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are greatly mistaken. This word here, mistaken, is planao. It's to go astray. He's telling these Sadducees, you have gone astray big time. You have missed it. You are off the mark. You are off the trail that leads to salvation. Guard your heart. Guard your life from going astray. It is so easy for all of us. It's so easy for any one of us to go astray. And as Christians, we can go astray in two primary ways when we're missing the Word of God. The first way is using the law as a means to be saved. We get wrapped up in that. We get caught up in that thinking that if I'm just good enough, I'm saved. I'm okay. The other way is to reject the law as a rule for life. You see, Christ tells us to run to Him, and Christ tells us to run to the law. But this idea of going astray should not be far from our minds. We should continually check ourselves and see why we do the good things that we do. Why do you show mercy? Why do you show grace? Why do you worship? Why do you study the Word? If it's not from love for Christ, you are astray. You're missing it. When I was about 12 years old, I took my sister on a hike and we went to this valley we called the Green Place. We got these beautiful green ferns that grew out of the hillside, these steep hillsides, and these hemlocks that grew tall. So the place was green and it was beautiful. And when it was time to go, I told my sister, okay, we go this way. She says, oh no, that's not the way we came. She'd never been there before. And being her big brother, obviously I knew the way to go. And I made up stupid things like, well, see this rock? This is my special rock that points the way to go. So we know. She said, no, that's not the way. I said, it is. Let's go. And as we hiked up out of the valley, nothing looked familiar. I was indeed going the wrong way. And as I got to the top of the hill, we came to a field. And that field wasn't supposed to be there. And still, something else was wrong. Clearly, it wasn't me. And then when I hiked to the top of the hill and I looked around and pretty much had no idea where I was, I knew that I was off the mark. I knew that I was off, that I was astray. Christ here tells them, you are off course. You are mistaken. You are astray. The worst part was that my little sister was right, and she remembers it 20 years later. But we have to evaluate. We have to evaluate where we are. We have to evaluate our lives. Why do you do the good that you do? To earn your salvation. Or why do you not do good? Is it because you reject the law altogether? But in order not to go astray, the law must be followed out of love from your heart. Seeking Christ and seeking His face. And we keep from going astray by doing just that, by seeking Christ. But there's a pitfall that gets in the way of that. Look with me at verse 18, and then we're going to jump down to verse 23. Verse 18, and some Sadducees who say that there is no resurrection. Then in verse 23 they say, in the resurrection, when they rise, which one's wife will she be? You see, they were acting like they were interested. They acted like they cared. They acted as if they believed. And how often is this the case with us? When we rise to come to a Bible study, when we rise to come to a prayer meeting, when we rise to come to church, are we faking it? Do not fake interest in Christ. But as you rise, think of the good blessings that you have received. In dealing with sinful children, I saw one who was just grumpy for no good reason. I tried to explain to them, do you know how cold it is outside? And you have this warm house. Do you know that your mother here loves you? Do you know that your father here loves you? Do you know that your heavenly Father loves you? You see, we have all these good things. We have these beautiful things. And you must use God's love for you to cultivate love in your heart for Christ. Don't fake it. Don't just go through the motions. But remember what has been done for you. The love that has been shown for you in Jesus Christ. And cultivate this real love. Nothing artificial. No mere forms. I've talked about the mere forms before, like a cake form that's empty. It has nothing in it. And that can be our worship. An empty cake form. And what's uglier and sadder than that? So I'm going to call upon you not to approach Christ with this fake posture, with this empty form. Not to approach the reading of His Word like this. And not to approach the preaching of His Word like this. But come to it with a heart of love. Eager to hear what He says. Which brings us to the next point, that I actually want you, and God wants you, to question Jesus. We see the attitude that they came with. And some Sadducees, who say that there is no resurrection, came to Him and began questioning Him, saying, Teacher, see, they were doing it wrong, but God wants you to do it right. He wants you to question Him. He wants you to seek Him. Have you ever met a person that was truly interested in you? Have you met a person that asks you about how you grew up? maybe ask you about your siblings, where they are, what they're doing. Ask about their relationship with Christ. You realize you're speaking to someone who actually loves you. Someone who cares about you. Someone who's interested in you. And you see the thumbprint of God on that person who loves you and is interested in you. You know the blessing that that is. Maybe you've met others who ask how you're doing or ask what's up. And as you begin to tell them, you realize they're looking the other direction and they couldn't care in the least. You see, we should be looking at how we approach God. Are you approaching Him because you care about His mind? You care about what He thinks. You care about what He says. You're interested in Him. Do you go to the Word interested in your Heavenly Father, longing to know His thoughts? You come to worship, longing to hear what God says and how He would impact your life. You see, God wants you to seek Him in this way. Psalm 27:8. You have said, "Seek my face." My heart says to you, "Your face, O Lord, I will seek." See, this is the relationship. This Heavenly Father, He wants this real relationship with you because you're interested in Him, because you love Him. And this does not come naturally to you. And it must be cultivated. So, in light of how we all fall short, how we all bring our empty cake pans to our prayer meetings, and we bring them to worship, and we bring them to the Word, the cry is, put your trust in Christ right now. Right now. In this moment. In light of this resurrection. In light of this Father who has loved you. Trust in Him now. You see, although we're dealing with matters of eternity, there is no more important moment than this moment for you right now. Nothing that has led up to this. Nothing that has led up to this is more significant than right now. And that will always be true as you're thinking of your relationship with Christ. It will always be true as you're making your decisions. See, it's like you're driving down a highway, following some directions. When I was in Florida, my dad let me go off on my own to try to go find my former pastor. And I looked up these directions and I thought I knew the way I had to go, but I didn't know how far I was going before I had to take this exit. And I'm driving and it's rush hour and there's four lanes and there's people and they're zipping by. And I'm thinking maybe I have time to get over for this exit, but maybe I don't. You see, that's where each one of you are. You're following these directions. You know you're taking the exit, the final judgment at some point. But you don't know when. So the cry is, get in the right lane. Get in the right lane. Get your posture correct, knowing that any moment you could be called upon to go before the Father. Your exit could be any time. This is true for grandparents. This is true for parents. And this is true for you, children. You don't know. You don't know when you will be called upon. You don't know when you will be ushered into God's presence. So make sure right now that your faith is in the right place. Not in anything that you have done, not in anything that you are doing, other than resting in the arms of Jesus Christ. Because you know that this resurrection is real. You know that this death is real. And it will come for you unless in the course of your lifetime God peels the sky back like a scroll. And in that case, that's your exit too. So be ready. Be ready with your faith in Christ alone. look forward to the resurrection. It seems a strange thing as we read these passages and the Sadducees start quoting Moses. And they're talking about this law that if a man dies and he leaves his wife and there is no son, the brother has to take this woman and make her his wife. I remember this being very bizarre to me and thinking about that working out practically as you think about the world around you. But what this is they're dealing with the promised land here. The promised land was like a picture of heaven. This land that they were given, this is what has been promised to you. Like heaven is what has been promised to you. So this land was to stay in their families. It was to belong to you and you held on to this. This was your cherished possession. So if a father, a husband passed away and had no children, who was that land going to go to? It would go to another name. And that slice of heaven, that piece of heaven was going to be gone. It was no longer in the family. So it was, you take her. You give your brother a son to hold on to this piece of heaven because down the road it might be your piece of heaven that's left up for grabs. So you hold on to this. You keep it. You take care of it. And this goes back to the resurrection. Goes back to you clinging to what is yours. Clinging to what God has promised. Heaven. Heaven. And the only way to acquire it or to be certain of it is your faith in Christ. And trust Christ with your final state. We see here, and I've talked to more than one, I'll say female, because it was a girl and it was a woman who was discouraged and disappointed about their not being married in heaven. One girl, she said, I don't want to die before I'm married because I know I can't get married in heaven. One woman was, oh, I don't want to die because then I won't be with my husband anymore or I won't know him. I said, no, you'll know him. She said, oh, but it won't be the same. And so she didn't want heaven for this reason. Guys furrow their brow and don't get it. Many of the women do get it. They're more loving than us, I think the deal is. But the idea here is it's like marriage is like a postcard of Hawaii. And you have this picture and you look at it and you think, okay, this picture is beautiful. This postcard is beautiful. And I like this. And so that you want to hold on to it. But then eventually you're going to Hawaii. And you don't need this postcard anymore. You see, your relationship with God in heaven is the perfect marriage. And God's not going to take something good away from you, like a marriage, and not give you something better in heaven. So trust God with this. Rely on this. Rejoice in this. And put your faith in Christ. And as your faith is in Christ, you look forward to the resurrection. Something more beautiful. Something more perfect. It's the vacation in which you throw away all of the postcards. Because you have the reality among you. You have the reality in your midst. You have the perfect marriage in your midst. You have the perfect security in your midst. This is what you look forward to in the fact of the resurrection. When your faith is in Christ. So in light of this resurrection, put your faith in Christ alone right now. Pray with me. Our God, we thank you. We thank you for this resurrection that we look forward to. And we plead with you, Lord, to give us each the faith that we need, to trust in you alone for our salvation. We fall short. We fall short a lot. And if we are left to contend with our own sins, we are all lost. But God, give us the faith that we need to cling to your Son, to cling to him, to rest in his arms, and look forward to this great and beautiful day where we see you face to face and we enjoy you in your paradise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.